Blog Talk Radio.
As we all know, that's extremely not true.
and we're going to get more depth with this. But Chuck, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing pretty good, man. Excited to get into it. Hope everybody out there in Radio Land is having a good night. And if they listen later, maybe they'll get some information that'll help them survive.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, it kind of gets people in a, you know, in a pickle about their relationship with Christ and about, you know, they don't have to worry about anything, that the enemy is just going to walk away when they stand up. And as we know, you know, this world is ruled by the enemy. God created this world. He did create this world. But the enemy has the papers to this place until Jesus comes back. God created all of us. He controls this world. He even says in the Word of God that he is the God of this world. The enemy is. Satan himself is the God of this world. And when we're living in this world, he's controlling things around it. Plus, we're living in fallen bodies. Our bodies will stay fallen until the Lord raises us up in glory, in glorified bodies. So until then, we still got things we got to fight with. And, you know, there's just so many different things there that kind of points to different things. But what do you think about this topic, Chuck?
Well, to me, it's a topic that seems kind of like we shouldn't even have the argument over it. I mean, Jesus' whole life was spent with the devil just trying to destroy everything that he did. I mean, even, you know, there's a verse that says if Satan knew that he killing him on the cross would have done what it did, he would have never done it. So the cross itself was an attack from the enemy just trying to kill Jesus. So, you know, we have to understand we live in a war. You know, and there is a war, but we are victorious in the war. If you read the book of Revelation, we win. So God is the ultimate force, and even though Satan may have been given the earth to rule over, Adam and Eve were given dominion in the earth. And I know that leans toward a dominionist theology, and I don't 100% agree with all the dominionists out there, but that is true. We have dominion in the earth. And we are here, and we can push the devil back. We can slap on him and slap him back. Because, trust me, if you live in a world where you think he can't touch you, he's got you. He's got you in a place where you're just going to live crazy. You know, his goal is to stop the move of God in the earth and to try to win enough people that he can ransom for his own, you know, so he don't have to live in hell forever. Satan don't even want to have to live in hell. So, yeah, I think it's kind of crazy that people actually believe that the devil's just sitting back somewhere going, oh, well, I can't touch them.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That just ain't right. And it's just crazy how people believe this stuff. You could sit there and look at the whole gospel. Okay, I kind of got cut off there. But anyway, I was talking about the whole gospel and the whole book of Acts, how the disciples constantly got attacked by Caesar and all the Pharisees. They was constantly getting attacked. They was getting beaten. They was getting killed. I mean, constantly. I mean, if they had this big thing of protection over them, you know, they would actually be living like kings and eating from the best, you know, eating from the best places, but they didn't. They was always on the run because the enemy was trying to get rid of them because he didn't want the kingdom of God to spread amongst the world. But it did anyway. No matter what he did to them, it got stronger and stronger. And, I mean, it was thousands of believers that was being transformed every day in a book of Acts, how the Christians was really building up there. And the more they went against the Christians, the more they grow. Because, you know, people were saying, hey, you know, if these people is getting killed for a reason, there's got to be something good about this. And they kept on being drawn. The Lord kept on drawing people to the apostles and kept on getting them saved. And it's just, you know, that battle against us. And that's one of the reasons I really think the problem with the church today is we have no battle. There's a lot of people who don't have a battle. They're comfortable where they are. there's nothing really come against their belief. There is now, but at once, I'll say about a couple years ago, there was nothing come against our belief. You know, it was all good. They go to their church, they go to work, and that's just the way it was. But these people was constantly in warfare all the time against their faith. They was getting crucified. They was getting beheaded. They are overseas now. And they was constantly always going against them, against their faith. And it kind of kept them on their toes and kept them knowing, hey, there's something to this, what we're believing. And one of the things that I read about is how the enemy tries to control us. He tries to get the world to try to get our minds so off of the Word of God, so off of what God's doing, to get our minds in worldly things. Kind of like when a person goes out of church, first thing they do, they turn on their radio. It might not be gospel, it might be worldly music. And before they know it, they're going home and they're watching, you know, worldly television, and their mind's in all of that, and it's plumb off of what God is all about. It's all about the world. And once you get your mind, and what he does, he gets your mind in the world to keep you in the world and out of God. Now, if you kept your mind on the Word of God, kept your mind on God, he couldn't really do much. But the biggest thing he does, he tries to keep you off of God. He tries to keep your mind away from God. And then he'll bring science in there to try to prove things wrong. Well, this didn't happen. Adam, it wasn't such thing as Adam and Eve. And, you know, it was a Big Bang theory that created the world. It wasn't really what Genesis had, but it's the Big Bang theory. And then he just keeps on trying to pull things apart. You know, before you know it, you know, they try to pull God out of everything. But to this day, you know, the science is starting to believe there is a God. There's got to be something that created all this. There's something that had to be put light into this. There's something that had to do all of this. And they're starting to see what the Bible has been talking about for thousands of years. I mean, we already knew this. They're just now figuring it out. So there is a God, and he can't really pull that apart no more, but now he's trying to create so many gods in our world that he's trying to say, which one do you want to pick? And they're all wrong except for Christ. So he don't want you to pick Christ. Oh, that's the wrong God there, because he wants you to be clean and a decent person. But all these other gods, pick all these other gods, they want you to do all these different things. And that's basically how he gets you caught up in that trap too. So there's so many different traps he gets you caught in. Once you become a Christian, you still got to have your barrels up. You've got to be ready. And as you could see, you know, in the book of Acts and how they had to fight against the enemy as how we have to fight against the enemy. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, man, I think you were just hitting the nail on the head right there. It's we in America especially have really gotten away from the Word of God. That's why, you know, last week's show, I really wanted to touch on prayer and Bible reading. It's something. For some reason, in our culture, we're just looking for the easy way out of this thing. Like, that's why this false grace message comes in, because it's like, oh, you don't have to do anything. God's already did everything. Just live life, yada, yada, yada. Go along, ho-hum. You, like you were saying, you know, daisies and unicorns and little white butterflies and all kind of stuff and music singing. And we think that it's just over with, but the Bible's full of stuff that talks about how we're in a warfare and how the Word of God has got to be the root where I tell people all the time, this is something I've been saying a lot lately, and I guess it's because I travel. When you travel, you say a lot of the things over and over because you're in front of different people groups every night, but, you know, I'm pretty much to the point that people don't read the Bible because they really don't believe it. If you really believed God breathed on a man to write these words in this book and it's led by the Holy Spirit, you would live inside of that thing. You would stay there because you know those are the words of God, and they're the basis for everything he does. And we've gotten into this casual Christianity where everything just kind of flows along. And, you know, people who live in countries like the Middle East or China or over in Asia, those places where there's a lot of persecution are people who live the gospel. I mean, they're seeing the blind healed, the dead raised, the deaf are hearing, limbs are growing out. They're seeing the gospel because they're living under persecution. And in the book of Acts, that's what those guys lived under, was just tremendous amount of persecution. And all it comes from is Satan does not want us to live this word out. And 1 Peter 5:8, I love it. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Lions always devour the weak. They pick the weakest or the smallest out, and then they try to take them out. So if you don't believe the enemy's got you in his radars and he's wanting to take you out, there's a preacher I listen to a lot. I won't say his name, but I love what he says. The fight is the indicator to where you are in God. If you're under just a lot of persecution, a lot of fighting, just you can feel the enemy breathing on your neck, it's because you've tapped into something in God, and he's trying to get you off of it. You even mentioned the Garden of Eden. If Satan can't get you, how did he get to Eve and Adam? I mean, his goal is to destroy mankind because we are the image of God, and we are the only thing right now he's allowed to touch. He can't touch God. God can flick his finger and, you know, slap Satan out into another universe. I mean, it's just crazy, the power of God. So we have to live with that revelation that we have that power living in us. And the devil wants us to live in a place where we don't have that revelation, and we're just normal people living our lives, going to work, getting in debt, watching TV, watching rated R movies with nudity in it, and not calling it porn. I mean, he's just trying to lull us to sleep, and that's what the book of Revelation paints the picture of humanity becoming, just lulled to sleep by the enemy.
That's it. And one of the biggest things is, you know, it talks about, you know, putting on your armor, putting on your armor, your whole armor of God, put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the shams of the devil. And that's Ephesians 6:11. And, you know, if everything was so hunky-dory, why would Ephesians be talking about putting on your armor of God? And then Ephesians 6:12 says, for we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. John 1:4-1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So these false prophets is teaching people, hey, you know, you're all good. You don't need to worry about anything, you know. Don't really, you don't have to pray to God or anything, because you're already taken care of right now. And they don't tell you that you live in a fallen body. You know, the enemy can't attack you. I mean, he cannot possess you. He cannot possess you, but he can attack your body and your family. But that's one of the reasons that God has made us sons and daughters of the Most High through Jesus Christ, because we have been given the Bible, the Word of God. We have been told our authority, what our authority is, and one of the biggest things he wants to teach you is that you do not have no authority. He don't want you to believe you have anything. He don't want you to know what authority you have, what you have in Christ. He don't want you to know that. The more he can manipulate your mind and dumb you down, the better off he has over you. But once you understand who you are, once you understand what you can do, what authority that Christ gave you before he left this earth, then he can't do much. It says, you know, fight against the devil and fight all them temptations and the devil will flee. So when the devil is coming against you in many different ways, like bad thoughts, you know, putting bad people against you, and you keep on, you know, turning them down, and you keep on not going towards your sinful thoughts and towards your sinful ways, and you start backing down from that, he'll start leaving you alone with that. So any little loophole that he knows that you have, he will use that against you. Any little careless sin that he knows that you'll fall into. And one of the biggest things I can teach people is sin, no matter whether you're saved or not, sin is still a loophole into your body. If you have a sin, a little sin, this body, now your soul is not liable to sin anymore. I mean, God, the Lord has saved that, but your body is still fallen. That's the loophole. Your body is still fallen. We forget about the body, but people's getting sick and dying every day. They forget that their body is liable to sin. It's a fallen body. Adam and Eve crushed this body. When they fell, our body fell. This earth fell. But our spirit, our soul came. That's one of the biggest things. So when you fall into this sin, when you fall in this sin, it opens a loophole for the devil to go inside of your body, for Satan to come into your mind, for Satan to come and mess with you and make you sick. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, it's good for a Christian to know the Ten Commandments, because that tells you all the loopholes that the enemy can get into your body and try to make you sick, mess with your life. You know, try to live a pure life. A lot of people nowadays don't talk about living a pure life. They're talking about, you know, you can do what you want because you're saved from everything. All your sins are taken away, so live as you want to. You know, look at your R-rated movies. You know, go and have as many wives and all that you want to. You're good. You know, everything's all good. But they forget about you're in a fallen body. You can live that sinful way, but the devil's going to drag you down and torture you like a dog. And they don't tell you about that one now. But, you know, live the way you want to, and you'll see what happens. But that's why it's so important for us to live purity, to go by those Ten Commandments, try to live that way. Now, we're out of the commandments, we're out of the law, but it still shows us, you know, Paul talks about, you know, we never did know how far we was from God until we saw the Ten Commandments. We didn't know how to live until we saw the Ten Commandments. How to live purity. The Ten Commandments shows you the ways of purity, shows you if you're falling off the map. I mean, if your lifestyle is completely not like the Ten Commandments, you know you're falling off there. You're not living the life of Christ. And that kind of gives you, you know, a little strategy there, how to live your life is that. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, when you talk about the Ten Commandments, one thing, a lot of people, it's because they don't read the Bible. I mean, if you read the Bible, Jesus talked about the law and the commandments. They're two different things. The Ten Commandments are not a part of the law. There are 613 laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all that stuff, and then there's Ten Commandments. When Jesus said, "I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it," Jesus lived out the law and the commandments. He was talking just about the law in that moment, because a lot of other conversations he would get into, one guy come up to him and said, "What are the greatest commandments?" He didn't ask him what the greatest laws were. They're actually two different things. So people who say they don't live under law does not mean you don't live under the Ten Commandments. And the reason the people struggle with Ten Commandments is because they think they are things. I heard a theologian say this one time, and it wrecked the way I looked at the Ten Commandments, or even the law itself. The Ten Commandments, if you look at them as this is stuff God's telling you not to do, then naturally your flesh is going to want to do it just because God said don't do it. But the Ten Commandments, God did not write the Ten Commandments so that we would see how bad we are. He wrote the Ten Commandments so we would see who he is. He told us not to commit adultery, not because he didn't want us to cheat on our wives, but because he wanted us to see that he's faithful. And if we're the image of God, we will become faithful people. He didn't tell us not to lie because he didn't want us to get a good tax return and lie on our taxes. He told us not to lie because he's truthful and he's true. And when you look at the Ten Commandments, they are who God is. They are his character. They are the things about him. You know, like I know things about my wife that nobody else does beyond her character. That's what the Ten Commandments are. It's a look into who God and his character and his personality and who he really is. You find those in the Ten Commandments. And so the reason we struggle with that is because you were nailing it just a minute ago. It's a struggle in our mind. The war is always in our mind. 2 Corinthians 10, this is one of my most favorite scriptures. When you start around verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds." The war is not always in the flesh, although we are in the flesh and we have to fight fleshly things. The war is in the mind. When I did a study on this one time on that word strongholds, And if you look through the Bible in the original language, the word that's used for stronghold there is only used this one time in 2 Corinthians 10. It's only used one time. Now, there are other English versions that's translated that's got the word stronghold used a few other times, but if you go back to the original language, it's only used one time here. And the definition of that word means that you have a mental process that is a 360-degree perimeter defense against God. Just like, I'll say this, and it'll probably be controversial, but that's just who I am. It's funny to me, a few years ago, God told me to cut the TV off, and so I did. And I've never, you know, told people, oh, you're going to hell if you watch TV. I've never put that on anybody else. God put it on me, so I did it. And so when people are talking to me about TV shows and stuff, well, I don't have a clue what they're talking about. I don't even know the names of the shows. I don't know the stuff going on. And they kind of look at me funny, and I'll go, well, you know, I don't watch TV. And before I can get that statement out of my mouth, they're already defending why they watch it. They have a mental process that's already ready to go to war against what God is saying. If that helps make sense, that's the only reason I brought that out. So, man, the war is in the mind, and that's why fasting is key, because fasting makes us tell our flesh no all the time, and it is a mental battle when you fast. When your body gets hungry, you'll fight mentally. Even though you're physically, you know, you're starving to death, but your brain, the fight is in your brain because, in the middle of a fast, my wife will go buy something to eat that I don't even like, and all of a sudden I want it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's a mental struggle. Yeah. It's a mental battle. It's all in the mind, and that's just Satan. If you look up the word Satan, actually, it means dart thrower. So when you were saying in Ephesians 6 to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked one, that's what he's doing. He's just throwing thoughts and these images at your brain, and he's just constantly warring against you. That's why the helmet of salvation, sword of spirit, shield of faith, blocks all that stuff. And it knocks down those darts that he is throwing at you. I don't care how saved you are. He threw them at Jesus. I mean, Jesus was fasting, and Satan tempted him with everything he could throw at him. So we got to understand our war really is in the mind.
Amen, amen. And there's some people that get off that, oh, only thing we got to fight is our mind. The devil ain't really there. It's just our mind that we're fighting against. Well, I tell people that your mind is a tool that he's using against you. He knows your mind is fallen. He knows that the carnal mind is there. There's a part of him there and a part of God's there. You got a part of the devil's mind and you got a part of God's mind, because he gave you the mind of Christ when you got saved. But you got two of them there. So until that, I'll say that the Adam's mind, the fallen mind, falls, until you conquer that, you're still going to battle that, and the enemy keeps on throwing thoughts in your mind of sinful things, things that you've fallen before, things that he knows that you'll fall. He keeps on throwing these attacks, but once you stand firm against this, and I actually, at one time, I didn't believe this. I mean, I always thought these thoughts in my mind was actually me, until I started learning a little bit about deliverance and said, no, this starts telling them thoughts to shut up and leave. That it was nothing but the enemy throwing demonic, you know, attacks against you. So one day I was at work and I had this thought. I don't know where it came from. I just hit my mind, and all of a sudden I said, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you and I command you to stay out of my mind now. And all of a sudden my mind got clear, like, stink. I was like, that's some truth to that. That wasn't me. So that was given. That actually revealed to me that the enemy was throwing thoughts in my mind that was not mine. It was just to try to get me on a roll call, to get me on that roll, to grab that thought and start taking off with it and riding it out. You know, once he gives you a thought of, you know, of the car or the brand new car you want, and then he lets you see that you're driving that car, even though you can't afford it, you don't got enough money to pay for it, you don't got enough money to finance it, you'll just be in debt. But anyway, he shows you a picture of that fine car you're driving down the road, and how you going to enjoy it, the new radio. But he don't tell you about all the other stuff, about the finances, and you can't afford this and that. But he don't want you to worry about it. He wants to see you driving that car and destroy your bank account. That's what he's wanting to do, to bring you down even further. So he'll throw something like that in your mind, and before you know it, he's got you on a roll. But once you you grab that thought and you say, you know, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you and I command you to leave. And all of a sudden you see a clearness there and you know that wasn't your thought. We are at war all the time, and a lot of times we believe that those thoughts are ours, and they never are. Most of the time they ain't. Once you get that under control and you can see for yourself that this is not really you, it's the enemy trying to manipulate you and guide you. All these thoughts you've had in your mind for years and you thought was yours, you will see with your own eyes that it wasn't. Once you rebuke that in Jesus' name, and you see that, and you see that thought coming in your mind, you say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name, leave me now. And you see it clear up just like that, that'll give you an indication that that's not you. And it kind of makes the Bible more clear to you how we are at war. And how cleaner and clearer your mind will be once you understand what you're fighting against. But one of the main things he's going to do, he's going to bring people into your life. Like if you start learning about deliverance and all this stuff, he'll bring somebody out from the open. Well, deliverance is not real. That's just you. There's no truth to deliverance, even though half of Jesus Christ's ministry was deliverance. He cast out demons through most of his ministry. But if it's not true, why did our Lord and Savior do that and through almost all of his ministry? You know, there's a lot of warfare we have against us that the enemy tries to cut down our defense. He don't want you to know the defense that the Lord has set up for us. Once he can get you not to believe in your defense, once he can get you to believe that there's no such thing as healing, laying on of hands, that it don't really exist, it went away with the apostles back 2,000 years ago, and that was only for them and not for you. You start getting sick, and you feel like there's no way for you to get help. You feel like there's nothing there anymore, which there always was. It's just, you know, your belief and your belief system has shut it down, that the enemy has used your belief system to shut it down. But once you start reading that word of God and start building that faith and you start seeing these things happen, and you start learning about laying on of hands and healing and about deliverance and about all the tools that the Lord has given you when he left to take care of you, to keep you safe. And once you learn about that, that arms you where you have something to fight with now. Even before you were saved, you had nothing. You didn't have not a thing to fight against. You had nothing to protect you at all, because the enemy had his rights to you, but once you gave yourself to the Lord, he has no more rights over you no more. And he don't want you to know that. He don't want you to get saved because he wants his rights to you. But as long as you don't accept the Lord into your heart, he has all his rights to you. He can destroy you and your family. He can destroy your whole generation if he wants to, because he has all his rights to you because you've not given yourself to the Lord. That's one reason why he tries to destroy the gospel. He tries to tear the gospel. Even when people is preaching the gospel to the world, preaching the gospel across the airwaves, he tries to put a veil in front of you where you can't understand that. That's where the Holy Spirit has to come within you and convict you and show you the correct way. I was there myself at one time. Back years ago, I couldn't understand the gospel. It just didn't make sense to me. I didn't really understand the cross. I didn't understand by him dying on the cross. I just thought it was something, you know, he did. It was just, you know, this and that. The Holy Spirit had to come in and show me that and help me understand that. I couldn't do that on my own. The Holy Spirit had to show me. He had to show me how essential that cross was, how essential that the Christ on that cross was to my being, to my spirit. Towards me. He had to show me how important that was. That's what he has to show to you. At this time, anybody that has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, here is your time to accept him into your life. To just hand your life over to him. Let him cancel all the things that the enemy has over you. To cut his rot to you off. Cut that rot that the enemy has on you, to cut it off. Now you're God's. He cannot touch you no more. Just say this prayer with me, everybody. Just say this prayer. If you've not given yourself to the Lord, just say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and Savior. I accept you in my heart for eternity. I repent of every and any sin I've ever done. I repent of any unknown sin I've done. I hand it to you and your cross. Lord Jesus, I accept that you died on the cross for me. And I also accept that you rose on the third day for me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming to me and coming into my heart. I ask you to come and live with me for eternity. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. And so it is. If you just said this prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ has came and made his way right inside of your heart. He will be with you for eternity, and he will keep you in his hands. And he has cut that rot that the enemy had off for you. He just cut that rot off for you. Now you're Jesus's. He's going to keep you in his hands. He's going to show you the right way and guide you in all the right ways. Just keep your trust in him and find you a nice church nearby in your local town and make one of these churches, one of these local churches, your home. And, get into a good Bible program to teach you the Word of God. We always, ask people to do that, to get into a good Bible program to teach them the Word of God and learn about the Word of God. That's what really helps too, don't it, Chuck?
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, without the Word, that's what I was thinking. I was going to suggest to whoever you are out there, if you prayed that prayer, man, you get you a Bible and live in that thing. Start you a prayer life and just start out by going, God, I don't know how to do this, but help me figure it out. I mean, just go for it. Because when you talk about repentance, I know you use that word. I know over the years, man, we've just butchered that word. People don't live a repentant lifestyle. Repentance does not mean to turn and go in the other direction. If I'm doing something crazy and I turn and go in the other direction and I don't stop doing that, then I haven't changed anything. The word repentance actually means to change the way you think. It means to change your mind. That's why we have to have a renewed mind, the mind of Christ. We have to live in a place, you were talking about the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is washing our mind constantly. I can't tell you how much ever since I finally got saved, but, I lived that lukewarm Christian lifestyle for a long time, finally got on fire, and it amazes me. Like, some of my old friends, we could talk about movies we used to talk about a long time ago, and I can't remember them. It's like my brain's been washed. Yes, it's a brainwashing. The Marine Corps does it, nobody says anything about it. God does the same thing. I talk to people about legalists. The Marine Corps makes women wear their hair in buns. Why are y'all fussing about it? Anyway, we have to have our mind renewed, and we do have to change the way we think. You can't just get up from a prayer and then go, okay, I'll live my life, and it's not that. If you will allow God, if you'll baptize yourself in the Bible, and you'll baptize yourself in prayer, and let the Holy Spirit baptize you with himself, it'll change your mind. It'll change the way you see things. It's cliche-ish, but I've heard of preachers that when they first got born again, they woke up the next day and the sky really was brighter, and they could hear the birds singing, and things just became beautiful to them. The trees swaying in the wind and all those things, because their mind had changed. It was their heart that changed, but also their mind began to change. And just to see things. And I've heard some testimonies of some people that were some rough people, but when God finally started changing their mind and renewing their mind, and these were people of prayer and reading their Bible. I mean, that's just what they do. They listen, they look for God, and they hear God. So if you're out there and you prayed that prayer, man, just chase after God. You got to take a step forward and just start running after God with all your heart. And I know we talk about how the enemy comes after you, and the enemy's going to try to destroy you. He's probably already talking to you right now, going, this is silly, this is stupid, they don't know what they're talking about. And all those things come in. You got to know, when Stan said that God's got you in his hand, that's actually a Bible verse. And there is nothing on this planet that can snatch you out. There's nothing that says you can't jump out, but as long as you chase after God as best you can, God will protect you, God will keep you. I love Isaiah 59:19. Again, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That standard is a military term. God will go to war for you. He will push the enemy back. There's angels that he gives charge over you. If you just prayed that prayer, God just sent angels and said, okay, protect him. As long as he'll chase after me, we got this. So just chase after God, man.
I know that there are some times when it's just so hard and you're living a life and you just feel like things are falling apart around you and the enemy has manipulated your family, manipulated everything around you. You just feel like everything is falling. But it's not really as bad as you think it is. It's testing time to see where you are. The enemy is just seeing what he can do with you next. And if you just stand firm, kind of like Job went through the same thing. If you just stand firm, the Lord is going to clear that up. He's going to clear that up. He's not only allowing the enemy to do this. He's doing this to see where you are, to let you see where you are in your life. I'm feeling that somebody's needing to hear this. But anyway, he's doing this where you can see where you are in your life. And see, the thing of it is, you don't really know where you are until the fire is put to you. That's where you see where your growth is in your Christian life. When all hell breaks loose, when all hell breaks loose, that's when you see who you really are. Now, when everything is hunky-dory and your job is going good and you got money flowing in and you're going on vacations, I mean, everybody's happy then. Christians, sinners, they're all happy at that time. But when you turn that spigot off and you dry everything up and you shake them up a little bit, and then you see who they really are. And that's going to show you where you need to grow from. And a lot of times when the Lord does that, he shakes you up. And he lets the enemy have his way for a little bit. He don't let you go too far. He don't let him go too far, but he just does enough, allows him enough to let you see who you really are. And when he does that, you're like, hey, I need a change, or hey, this. Don't worry. The Lord has you. He's going to keep you protected. Just watch what is going on. Just see how you react. See what you're doing. See if you're going to fall towards the other end a little bit. And once you go through it, just ask the Lord. Just get closer to the Lord, and he will put his peace upon you, and he will show you your way through this path. This path is not going to last very long. This dark season is not going to last very long. I really feel like there's an umbrella that's going to be put over your head. It's going to start being protected. But you're just being tested at this time to see where you are on your path at this time. But it's fixing to stop. The Lord is fixing to put his foot down and say no more. And you're going to start having a season of peace, a season of rest. But you're going to be stronger from this season. This season you've been in, you're going to be stronger from this season. The enemy ain't going to be able to manipulate you as he did before. But you're going to be stronger, and you're going to be going straighter through your path than what you was. There's somebody's been on the walk with the Lord, but they've been going here and there and everywhere and being mixed up with the world and being mixed up here. And this season has showed you what you need to do. It showed you need to grow close to the Lord, because all your other paths that you had and all the other things, I say, all the buckets you had your feet in, it's causing you to trip. You're falling. You're falling on your face. And the Lord is showing you that you need your bucket, your feet in his bucket, and you can go straighter. So a lot of times, seasons like this helps you grow in your faith, helps you grow as a human being. And I really believe that this season is about over. It's just helping you grow. Anywho, back to the topic. One of the biggest things I really like to get to everybody is that, you know, that the Lord has given us, you know, things to protect us. He has, you know, once you stay in prayer with him, you have a shield of protection around you. His glory is around you. The more you stay closer to him, the more the enemy sees that he can't mess with you. But once he breaks your prayer life off, breaks your Bible reading off, then he can get closer, because you're not that close to the Lord no more. He knows that you only talk to him every once in a while, so the glory ain't as strong as it was. What I really tell everybody to do, you know, for that protection, keep a prayer life. Read in that Word of God and keep a communication with the Lord at all times. I mean, build a relationship with him, and that's what's really going to keep you protected. one of the first things that the enemy does is try to destroy your prayer life. He tries to keep you so busy that you can't talk to God at all. He don't want you to talk. He don't want you to talk to God. Because if you do, the further he has to stay away from you. But if you stop your connection with the Lord, the closer he can get to you. So build a prayer life. You know, pick a favorite time of the day to spend that time with the Lord. How do you do that, Chuck?
Well, normally my prayer time's early in the morning, just because I like to. I've always been an early riser. Like, that's just my lifestyle ever since I was a child, been getting up early. So I really like to seek him in the morning and do certain things. And one thing to go along with that, you know, the number one reason for divorce is lack of communication. It's just the husband and the wife quit talking. And so if Satan can get you and God to quit talking, he'll split you. He'll separate you somehow and he'll take you out. So, you know, that goes along with the topic. The enemy will attack you, and he's going to try. He's going to listen. He's going to watch. He's real smart. He's going to try to figure out how to divide you and God. So back to the question. Anyway, mine's real early in the morning, and then I'll go to work. Of course, I'm self-employed, so I can go to work pretty much. It's good for me to go about 9 in the morning. So I get to spend a few hours with him every morning. And I'm going to tell you, once I started doing it, it didn't start out doing that long. I really started out with an hour or less. But once I started doing it, and you start getting past the, oh, God, I need, and oh, God, help me, and I'm sorry I did this, and I'm sorry I said that, and could you do this for me? Once you get past all that, you'll grow into a place where you'll just enjoy communion with God, just sitting down, talking to him, talking to Jesus, talking to the Holy Spirit. You know, in Ephesians 6, a lot of people look over this, but you have the armor of God that you started out with, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. And one thing in there, when it talks about the shield of faith, it talks about praying in the Spirit always. And so, I mean, praying in the Spirit is a huge key to that. And it's like my wife. I don't have to sit down with my wife when I talk to her and have a checklist and, you know, honey, I need this, honey. We just sit down and we talk, and you'll learn how to – you'll grow into the communion with God, and you'll learn a lot by reading your Bible, because you'll see if you read John 17 where Jesus prayed, he was talking to God. You'll learn the communication between the Father and the Son and how it just kind of flows. You don't have to struggle at relationships. I mean, you'll get past that and you'll just really start flowing with it.
Amen. And one of the biggest things, you know, praying in spirit is when you're praying in tongues. That's praying in spirit. And one of the biggest things that the enemy will throw at you when you start speaking in tongues is that he'll say, are you speaking of God or is that the enemy speaking through you? Are you sure that's tongues? Are you making that up? I mean, he'll throw these things at you to try to stop you from doing that. If he can shut you up from praying in tongues, he can go further. Don't listen to nobody, whatever. Now, I'm going to tell you, the enemy don't have to come himself. He can send somebody to do it. Somebody that's kind of ignorant in the mind, he could send them to say, well, you're not speaking of God. That's something else coming out of your mouth, you know, things like that. And before you know it, you're going to start believing it, and you'll shut it down. Then the enemy can do what he wants to with other things. So no matter what, if you pick up this gift of praying in tongues, that is a strong bit of warfare out there. Praying in spirit, that will protect you a lot, put a good shield over you. Pray in tongues as much as you can. I'm telling you, it helps you work in healing. It helps you work with protection. It has all type of capabilities. It also activates a lot of your gifts too. When you pray like that, it activates gifts that God has given you. There's a lot of stuff that praying in tongues do. That's one of the biggest warfares that he's given you. And there's so many things. Stay in the Word of God. Know your authority. Knowing your authority in the Word of God really helps you because you know what you have against him. So there's so many different things there that really helps you to know who you are in Christ. And at this time, I want to go ahead and we're a little over here, but I want to pray for anybody that has any ailments or anything, just put your hand where this ailment is. at this time, just put your hand right where that ailment is. In Jesus' name, I command all pain to go. I command all infirmity to go in Jesus' name. I command infirmity to leave now, cancer. I curse and bind you. I command you to leave the person's body. I command migraines to leave in Jesus' name. I command you to leave their mind and leave their body now in Jesus' name. I bind and rebuke you, headache, spirit of headache, and depression. I command you all to leave now in Jesus' name. I command muscles to be fully repaired and restored. I command broken bones to be fully repaired and restored in Jesus' name. I command life in Jesus' name to be put upon their bodies now in Jesus' name. And so it is. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for listening to the show tonight. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Got a little bit out of it. Thank you, Chuck, for coming on.
Yeah, man, enjoyed being here. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Go to the Healing Light page and check out our Facebook page. We also got a Healing Light YouTube page, and we're also on the Cowboys Church channel. You see different episodes on there every month. And just check out some of our shows. We got some shows coming pretty soon. And we do conferences. Check out our conference. We also have a Healing Light conference page on Facebook. Check that out and check out what we do at these conferences. What happens? You know, we've had one conference where we did a foot washing, and it was very sacred. We had the Spirit of God hit, and I mean, it was awesome what took place there. I mean, each conference we do is normally different, Aunt Chuck.
Yeah, you could say that again. They're usually pretty different. But, I mean, that's kind of what happens when you follow the Holy Spirit. He's got something in mind he wants to do that night, and he'll just do it the way he wants to.
Yeah. It's, I mean, each time that we do a conference, it's kindly, a lot of times he tells us at the last minute of what he wants us to do, or maybe that week, but he always guides us into doing just something different. We always pray for the sick at the end, and we always ask for salvation. We always do that close to the end, and even sometimes at the beginning of the conference. But we're always talking about things to meet you where you are. We always try to talk about things to meet you where you are right then and there to help guide you on your path with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do have conferences that teach healing. We did one in Florence, South Carolina last year. We try to have one once a year. I think we're trying to fix up one in Florence again this year. We're thinking about doing another healing conference. It's going to be a little different. We might hit the streets maybe once, but we're going to stay more inward in the church and teach and show you how to operate in this. We're going to try that this year too. But we teach this, and if somebody would want us to come out and teach how to operate in healing and prophecy, you know, just send us a message and let us know, and we'll try to set up something. And what we expect, we don't expect much. We just expect, you know, some gas money and, you know, some food and a place to stay is the only thing we ask for, and to help us get us there. That's the only thing we ask. And you know, and just preach the word of God and heal the sick is what we're out here for. So I'd like to thank you all for listening, and God bless each and every one of y'all, and we will see you next week.
Reminding me that we are